So basic halacha, are you allowed to go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah?
If you're tired or if you're not tired?
Are you allowed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah?
Possibly about that.
So what does it say in the Rama? What?
As if we had control of it.
Okay, so what is the halacha? The halacha, the Rama says, V'gam noyhagim sheloy lishon b'yoyim Rosh Hashanah. It's the Rama, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah. The minhag, it's a minhag, it's not a halacha. It's a, what?
It's the minhag of the people who don't sleep.
A minhag, the gam nohagim shalai lishan b'yoyim reish hashanah. U minhag nochon hu, adkan. Do an analysis of all the way, all the different times of minhagim of the Ramah and his language. And it's a very, I'm sure, they must, someone must have done this, must be a safer to an analysis of all the different types of expressions of the Ramah. He writes, u minhag nochon hu. This is a correct, nochon. It's a correct minhag. Now, where does this come from? What's the source? The source is the Yerushalmi, famous Yerushalmi, man did domich bere shoso, domich mazle. The word domich means to sleep. A person who sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the year, his mazel will be asleep the entire year. Whatever happens on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, is a simi for the entire year. So you do not want your mazel. Whatever the what does mazel even mean? I don't know what mazel means. Whatever it means, you don't want to play games. No one's looking to take chances. Okay, you want to play it safe. You want to play it safe. You don't want your mazel to be weak. If you want to be, you want to be awake, alert. You want to be fully alert. Now, based upon that principle, this is. But therefore,
is there a marker for that principle?
It's the Yerushalmi. It's all it says. It's all it says. There's no pasuk. It's the Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi. Talmud Yerushalmi, where, which Masechta, I don't even know which Masechta, probably Rosh Hashanah, doesn't say which daf it is. That's what it says, that a person who is asleep on Rosh Hashanah, his mazel will be asleep the whole year. So you don't want to play games, you want to be alert. And if you take that kind of principle to its natural conclusion, you know what that would mean? You have to wake up before Alois HaShachar, because you do not want to find yourself in a state of sleep at any moment of the day. What do most people do? Oh, I'm not going to sleep. I'm a tzaddik. I don't want to be in violation of Yerushalmi. So what time is davening? 8 o'clock. You daven 8 o'clock, right? All shuls daven, I would imagine. 8 o'clock, 8:30. No one davens 9 o'clock. Is there a shul in Flatbush that davens Rosh Hashanah 9 o'clock? Probably hard to find such a shul. You daven 8 o'clock. What?
Probably
Lubavitch. Chabad? 10 o'clock. Okay, but a regular shul davens, if you daven 9 o'clock on regular Shabbos, you daven probably 8. I remember the young Israel, they daven 8 o'clock in Avenue J, and Yom Kippur, they daven at 8:30. I used to make the schedule, I still remember this, so they make 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock is davening Rosh Hashanah, they daven early. So what do people do? Oh, davening is 8 o'clock. No, I'll get up at 7 o'clock. I'll get up at 7:30, roll out of bed, and come into shul. Excuse me, you're getting up at 7:30? 7 o'clock? What time is Alois HaShachar? I didn't look it up. I don't know what time is Alois HaShachar. 6 o'clock? Whatever it is.
Vesikah.
Alois HaShachar, 72 minutes before sunrise. You're diving at 8 o'clock, and you're going to wake up 7 o'clock to get ready to go to shul, and Alois HaShachar was already at, let's say, 5:04. You hear that? 5:04. So it's already called day. It's already called day at 5:04. You're getting up at 7 o'clock when Alois HaShachar is 5:04. You're 2 hours late. And it says in the Gemara, man, did anyone that is asleep, anyone that is that is asleep on Rosh Hashanah, his mazel is asleep. So you're really getting off to a bad start. If you want to go to sleep, so sleep in the afternoon. Don't sleep past Alois HaShachar, because that's the beginning of the year. That's the moment of the beginning of the day when you're supposed to be up and you're already sleeping. So in a chanami, there are people, and not among us, I don't think, but there are people that take this Yerushalmi and this Ramah very literally and very, very seriously, and they wake up on Rosh Hashanah before Alois HaShachar to be awake the entire day. How do you like that? Now, most of us do not do that.
That's like the worst of both worlds. You get it from both ends.
What do you mean, both ends?
Because you lose sleep, from the nighttime, but then you lose sleep in the afternoon.
Well, there's no need to lose sleep at night. You have these long meals. Why do you have to have a long, lavish meal? I never thought it was a good idea. I don't understand.
That's what puts most of us to sleep.
People have these long meals with the simanim. It's like a seder. Many families have like a seder at night. They all come together and they schmooze. It turns into Lashon Hara. What's all that? Rosh Hashanah, you have a quick meal, go to sleep, get up. It's the Yom HaDin. This is serious stuff. If a person today had a court case, the next morning, Rahmana Litzlan, he wouldn't be having a lavish meal with his family. Everyone's dressed up and nice and fancy. Okay, you know, it's a Yom Tif, so you have to sue this Yom Tif, but there's a limit. Everything has to be done in balance. It's definitely, and at least I find it to be a little bit over the top in some places, and it's the Yom HaDin, and the Yom HaDin, you do certain things on the Yom HaDin, the next thing is Yom HaDin, and therefore some people take it very seriously, they attack and they get it before Allah HaShachar. We don't do that, because our understanding of this meaning of the Ramah is, the understanding is simple, is that you don't sleep in the after, you don't sleep after davening is over. It doesn't count. Anything from Alois HaShachar until the normal time when you wake up, that's called part of the night. Oh, you'll say, but technically it's part of the day. Yeah, so you technically, this is not etched in stone, this is a minhag. It's more of a perception for yourself to appreciate that it's in the year, it's in the start, you should be fresh. So the vast majority who work on themselves not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah because of this Yerushalmi are not at all makbid to wake up before Alois HaShachar. But there are people who do take it very seriously, and it definitely changes the entire day. If you're getting up about Alois HaShachar, you're going to be awake. The whole thing, that's a whole different type of day. Now, what about after Chatzos? So the Mishnah Berurah says that the Arizal said it is permitted to go to sleep. After Chatzos is at 1 o'clock. After 1 o'clock, you can go to sleep because the din, the moment of din is only until Chatzos. So once you get past Chatzos, 1 o'clock, you can take a nap in the afternoon. So that basically becomes irrelevant to all of this. Anyway, most people are not going to go to sleep until the afternoon. Okay, so we have over here already two leniencies. The Ik Maker Adin is a Yerushalmi. You should not sleep the entire day. That would take you from Alois HaShachar until day is over. So number one, Alois HaShachar until when you wake up, we're not so makbid on, because we don't consider that to be part of what it means. What it means going, it's probably, we view that time period as an extension of the night. After Chatzos, it's after the moment of din. Din goes until Chatzos. The din is over, and now, if you want, you can go to sleep, because the Arizal, he held that it is permitted to go to sleep after Chatzos, and it's recorded that the Arizal himself took a nap on Rosh Hashanah after Chatzos. Others disagree, and they say, don't bring me a proof from the Arizal. What the Arizal accomplished when he dozed off, the average person could not accomplish in 1,000 years. So don't compare yourself to the Arizal. Arizal, when he went to sleep, he wasn't really sleeping. He was doing whatever he was doing. Don't bring a riot from the Arizal what he did. The average person who's very nervous, it's the Yom HaDin, there is room in halacha, in minog, for a person to attempt to stay awake the entire afternoon in
what
order.
What? What I don't do when I'm asleep, the Arizal would never do when he's awake.
What you don't do when you're sleeping, the Arizal would not do when he's awake over 1,000 years. I like that. That's very cute twist on this famous expression. Okay, so this is. Different minhag, it all comes down to what you can do now, but there's more to it. What about the second day? So some people say that this, that you have to exert yourself not to go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, is only the first day. The Iker Din is the first day. The second day Rosh Hashanah, you can be much, much more lenient, and you can take a nap, especially after Chatzos. And what about putting your head down on the table? Not actually lying down on a bed, taking off your shoes, putting on your pajamas. What about, you know, you're sitting at the dining room table, you take a power nap. You put your head down. Put your head down and you just close your eyes, and maybe if you're lucky, you'll doze off for 15, 20 minutes. Does that count? So it does not. Many Paiskim say that's not what it means. That Avchaim Kanievsky writes, I think that's not called sleeping. Sleeping over here, when it says that the mazel is going to be, affected, means you take off your shoes, you put on your pajamas, you lie down, you go under the cover, and you go to sleep for real. Just to go put your head down on the table and close your eyes for a few moments and take a small try to lightly doze off for a few minutes to refresh yourself, that is not called sleeping. So sach hakol, we come away with a minog that's brought down in the Ramah, and the Ramah, we don't make light of the minog. Many people are makbar on this. There are definitely many people that are very makbar on this, that you do not sleep on Rosh Hashanah. The Ramah says it is a minog not to sleep. Uminog nochoin hu. It comes from the Yerushalmi, a person that sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, his mazel will be asleep the whole year. And now we have to go to all different madrigot. There's a difference between the first day. There's a difference between the first day and the second day. The first day, if you should exert yourself if you can. No, you don't have to, but if you can, first day more than the second day. Waking up before Alois HaShachar is an extreme chumrah, which you don't see people doing. Number three, after Chatzos, there is room to be lenient because it's already past the Zman Din, and putting your head down for a few moments is no big deal. Okay, so these are the klalim of going to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, next halacha. And we did this, I think every year we go through a little bit of the halachas. I don't remember my stuff from year to year, but let's go through the basic halachas of the Simonim, the Seder of the Laila. What I'm saying now is just, you know, one approach. I think what I'm telling you now is the more popular approach, but there are many, many minhagim regarding the Seder, the order of eating and making brachos on the night of Rosh Hashanah. There are many, many halachim. I'm telling you now what I believe to be the most common. The most common way amongst us here in this room, minhag Ashkenaz. What kind of Ashkenaz? The version of Ashkenaz that is practiced in Flatbush. Okay? In this part of Flatbush, what?
The Polish,
in this part of Flatbush, everyone has their different customs, but basically, the impression I get is as follows. You come home from shul, and you make Kiddush. Okay? There's no Shalom Aleichem. It's not this year, it's not Shabbos. And you make Kiddush. And you start with Savri, and you make Kiddush. I have an article master. Let's see, this is the global melting pot. You come home, you make Kiddush. When you make Kiddush, what do? You say, you know, the standard nusach of Kiddush. Give me one moment. Okay, you start, that's all you do. There's no Shalom Aleichem, Eish Eschayim. A regular yomtiv, nothing is vanish, there's nothing to do. All you do is you say Savri Baranon, Vrabonon, Vrabasai, you make the Bori Priyagofen, then you make Zorach Asher, Bochar, Abon Mikolom, Rabon Mikoloshoim, and Yisrael Benitzosav. By the way, this Nusuf, you say in Rosh Hashanah, is the exact same Nusuf you say on the Sholosh Regolim. That's interesting. There's not a special Nusuf for Rosh Hashanah.
Except the Baruch HaMetzvah.
Oh, okay. Udvarach, you're right. You're saying good. I made a mistake. See, you're right. Kivon v'chad, I made a mistake. You're right. It is special. Kivon v'chad, we are saying Rashi. You call him Udvarach MS. You're saying very good. I made a mistake. Dvarim shamarti Torah same biyadi. There is a special nusach. It starts off like the Shalosh Regalim, but you do say something that is very unique for Rosh Hashanah. Udvarach MS. We're going to talk about it maybe tomorrow. Dvarach HaEmes, your words are Emes, v'kayim la'adam, you are in existence forever. Baruch HaTav Shem Melech, al kol oretz, v'kadeish Yisrael, v'yoyim ha'zikoroim. Now, it's not Mitzvah Shabbos this year, so there's no Havdalah. Next, what's the next thing you do? You make a Shechiyonu immediately. A Shechiyonu. You make a Shechiyonu right after you make this, before you drink from the wine. Now, what about your wife? Did your wife make a Shechiyonu when she lit candles? Yes, she did. That's the Minog Yisrael, even though not everyone is happy with that. But the Minog Yisrael is when a woman lights candles, Asher Kedushan, the Mitzvahs, for the Halak Ner Shol Yom Tov, she also makes a Shechiyonu. So the Shechiyonu that you are making is really redundant for her. Because she already made a Shechiyonu, and now you're making a Shechiyonu. And that's why some hold that the woman should not even answer Amen to your Shechiyonu. It would constitute a Hefsek. We do not paskin like that. That's not correct. A woman can answer Amen to your Shechiyonu, even though she made her own Shechiyonu. The Minhag Yisrael Torah says that if you should convince your wife that she should not make a shechianu when she lights candles, and rely upon your shechianu. But if you try to convince your wife, it's not, you might end by be like in the Gemara, you'll sleep in the cemetery on the night of Rosh Hashanah.
Well, no, what he said was, I told my wife not to make a shechianu.
She told you, you know what you're talking about. Says, you're not Moritz. You know, does it's like a rise and always says over that he went to a hotel once with his wife, and they forgot to bring a blech. She forgot Rabbi Reisman. You know, Rabbi Reisman is a posek. He's one of the biggest poskim in our neighborhood here. You know, Rabbi Reisman, he doesn't need my introduction. He's from the Gedolei Yisrael, Rabbi Reisman. And people call him the entire day asking him questions, Pesukei Halacha. And he knows everything. He knows everything, Rabbi Reisman. What doesn't he know? So he went with his wife away to a hotel, and they put up the food, they had everything ready to go, all the food, and his wife forgot to bring a blech. They didn't have a blech. So she was in a panic. That's what he said in the shir. So she asked him, what do? I don't have a blech. So he says, is the food fully cooked? Yeah, everything was fully cooked. So he says, you don't need a blech. Just put the food on the oven without a blech. So she says, what? What kind of rabbi are you? You don't know anything. You don't know anything. What kind of rabbi are you? How could you put food on the oven without a, on the range, without a blech? What kind of rabbi are you? Well, a Reisman is right. You don't need a blech. We have a blech because only the food that's not fully cooked. You have an or for a chazorah. You need a blech for two reasons. Either for chazorah, if you want to put the pot back on the fire, or if the food is not fully cooked. But if the food is fully cooked, you don't need a blech. So if the food is fully cooked, you're not going to put it back, so you don't need a blech. And his wife was stunned. How can an Orthodox rabbi, how could it be an Orthodox rabbi tells a woman to put food on the range without a blech? This rabbi is not a rabbi. So if you tell your wife not to make a shechianu when she lights Shabbos candles, she'll say to you, are you an Orthodox Jew? What are you telling me what to do? The truth is, she does not need to make a shechianu. She can rely upon your shechianu. If she makes her own shechianu, then she really should not be saying onen. It's a hefsek in the kiddush if she drinks the wine. Halacha l'maaseh, that's not the minhag Yisrael. The minhag Yisrael is that the wife does make a shechianu when she lights candles, and you make the shechianu when you make kiddush, and she answers amen. Shalom al Yisrael. You want to say alam l'shavart that the shechianu on the shechianu that she makes is not a shechianu on the day. It's on the lighting of the candles for Yom Tov. That's a chiddush, but maybe who knows? The other mahalchim, maybe her shechianu is a different type of shechianu. This whole discussion, you make a shechianu, it's a big discussion. What is the shechianu koyle? What is it? What does a shechianu of the power to involve multiple events? I'm wearing a new suit. I have on the table a new fruit, and I had a baby girl. I had a baby girl. So each one of these things requires a shechianu. A baby, I have a new fruit, and I'm wearing a new suit, and it's Yom Tov. And I make a shechianu. Does that one shechianu conquer all? Some say yes, some say no way. Each one needs its own shechianu. You can't go group together a fruit, a suit, a baby, and the Yom Tov day itself. Not so simple. So when a woman, just because the woman, maybe when she makes a shechianu, she lights the candles, that's her mitzvah, she lights the candles, so I don't know why you can't suggest and say when she's lighting candles and she makes a shechianu, the shechianu that she's making is on her unique mitzvah, that it's a unique shechianu v'kimanu v'gyanu lazman hazeh, to come to Rosh Hashanah and to light lahalik ner shel Yom Tov. It's said that indeed is very unique. And then when the husband makes kiddush, he's begging kiddush on the yoyim. So everyone has to answer, amen to the yoyim. Why is it necessarily considered to be a repetition? I don't know. But the bottom line is, the minhag Yisrael is she makes her own shechianu, you make your shechianu, and she can answer amen, and she can drink from the wine. It's not called a hefsek. Okay, so we're done. You make kiddush, unique nusuch, udvorcha emes, v'chaim lo'ad. You made a shechianu, she made her shechianu, she made lahalik ner shel Yom Tov. And now we wash. Okay, I'm dealing over here with the minhag of Ashkenaz, according to the version of the people in the Flatbush in this community here, we wash. I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe people do differently, but we wash. No one here is no, we wash. After you wash, now you make hamaitzi. You make hamaitzi, what do we have on the table when I make hamaitzi? You have?
Can I just interrupt a second?
Yes, of course.
There is a substantial minhag, let's say, not percentage-wise, to eat the fruit, to eat the apple right after.
Right. That's my Hakdama. That I know there are people, there are definitely people who hold now is the right time to eat the fruit, the apple now, before you wash. Absolutely. Okay, but I just want to go through. I don't think anyone here does that.
Right.
Okay. I'm just doing what's popular. Okay, what's popular, just because we have limited time, I just want to go through the halachas. I'm assuming here, is anyone here in this room that eats the apple before you wash? Anyone? Anyone eat the apple before you wash?
You do?
Or Baruch, you do?
Yeah.
That's what your Rebbe did?
Yeah.
Okay, see, I stand corrected. Some people, they eat the apple immediately. Okay, so let's just proceed what it says in the article Siddur. In the article... Appledorf eats apples before, okay? In the article Siddur, it's interesting, the article Machzor, do they even mention? Okay, they make shechiyan. It is the custom to give each person present from the wine of the kiddush. Right? All present wine. See, it's interesting. They don't even mention it. It's shocking. They don't even mention the other minig of the art scroll machzor. They just say you make kiddush now. You the tilas the Ashkenaz version. They don't mention nusach svar. I think a lot of svar they eat the apple right away. They don't even mention it. The tilas yadayim. And they make hamotzi lechem in aretz. Now, when you do hamotzi lechem in aretz, what is the meaning? What is the meaning of most people? You dip the apple in the honey. I mean, you dip the bread in the honey. We had a whole shir on this. Why you do this? It doesn't say this anywhere. We are not going to do a whole hour on this. When you dip the bread in the honey, why? In order to basically exempt the honey from a bracha. The Baruch of Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz is now going to come to rest, to devolve, to be chal upon the honey, so the honey will not need a bracha. There's a big question, why don't we make a special bracha on the honey, a shahakol on the honey? To avoid that difficulty, the best thing to do is to first wash, and to make a Hamotzi, and to dip the honey in the bread, so when you eat the bread, you're eating the bread and the honey together, and the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz is also working, covering the honey, because you're eating it with the bread. So now, subsequently, when you can eat honey later on by the apple, it does not need a bracha because it already got its bracha with the Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz, being that it was eaten together with the bread. So lom shavart. But in any event, put that aside. So you take the bread and you dip the bread in the honey. Question, do you dip the bread in the salt? Many people have a minhag to dip the bread in the salt. Do you do that the night of Rosh Hashanah? So this is a tough question. So it would appear that dipping the bread in honey and salt at the same time is not advisable. I don't know why. Salt, it represents one thing, honey represents something else. It's not a good shidduch. That's what it would seem from what I'm reading. Some do. There are different customs. Some dip the honey, the bread, in salt and in honey, both together. Some people don't dip the bread in salt at all. Zero. Do they have salt on the table? Many hold you should. You should have salt on the table. Ein lanu lehishtamesh bahem. Ela lir'oysam bilvat. It's just there to be present, to scare away the satan, but it's not meant to be. You don't dip the bread into the salt. Some people don't even do it on a Friday night. Some people have the custom, even on a regular Friday night, you don't dip bread in salt. You only dip bread in salt when you bring a carbon. And that means carbons are brought by day, not at night. So at night is not as mana bring a carbon. So you don't bring, but that's not how most people, they do dip the bread in salt Friday night. But when it's Rosh Hashanah, we have a problem. So some do both. You dip it in salt and in honey. Some will only dip it in honey. And some do this, which appears to be the best thing is, first you dip it in honey, and then you eat a little piece. And then later, after you finish swallowing the challah that was dipped in honey, you dip another piece of challah in salt and eat that. So you do basically both.
Who does that?
That's what I saw that in Rabbi Felder Sefer. I have here an excellent Sefer which came out called Shi'uri Halacha. I felt there is one of the biggest paiskim in Lakewood. He's been a Pesach already for years. You know how many years he's been giving shiurim? And now for the very first time, I don't know if he published or his Talmid, and they published the halacha. He always a big bal halacha. He always have tapes. I remember always singing in the years in Torah Das, tapes. Shiuri halacha, very clear, very thorough. I remember his birthday, they had tapes there in Basa B'cholov. He's been for shiur for years. He's a big Pesach, a big mumcha in halacha, and now someone came along, maybe his Talmidim, they published a volume of Shiuri Halacha on the Mo'adiv. And I have here in Rosh Hashanah, and it's Mosuk Midvash, Klar, the halachas are, you know, really, everything here is Al Mikonoi, really on the mark. And he writes here, I read this very quickly, I didn't go through every little prat, but he writes here that there are many people who feel that the correct thing to do is to dip it first in honey and swallow it. And if it is your custom on a regular Friday, a regular night of Shabbos or Yom Tov to dip your bread in salt, afterwards, after you swallow the bread and honey, you take another little piece of challah and you dip that in salt, so you're mekayim both of them. Okay, so we're done now with the bread. The bread is in the honey. And then we now go to the apple. Now, when you bring out the apple, it can be on the table, but it is advisable that the simonim, the other simonim, are not on the table.
Or
they should be covered. Because it's likely, now everyone can bring whatever simonim they want, doesn't matter. The Gemara mentions a collection of simonim. Some of the things we're not even sure we know what they are, but the Gemara, there are certain simonim that appear in the Gemara, with what the simonim are. And you know, today the women know this. They sell this. And they sell these. They make a big business. They really very expensive. They charge. They have platters if you want in the store, ready-made simonim platters with instructions and hiratzons. Whatever you do is good. Doesn't matter. And whatever the simonim you have, but sometimes among the simonim are dates. Rimoinim, pomegranates, dates, what else we got in the simonim? They're from the Shiva Saminim. Figs, okay, everyone has their version of the simonim. You have from the Shiva Saminim. And you have an apple. The apple's going to be the first thing. And the apple is not from the Shiva Saminim. So the halacha is, when you have the Shiva Saminim and you have an apple, you make the Bori Priyo Eitz on the Shiva Saminim. So if you have the apple on the table and you have the Shiva Saminim on the table, who should get the bracha? The Shiva Saminim should get the bracha. But you don't want to do that. You want to go ala seder. And the seder, the minhag Yisrael is first to make the tapuach. Okay, we discussed some drush yesterday, why the tapuach, whatever it is, but the tapuach goes first. So if you have a dilemma, I can't make a bracha on the tapuach when I have the Shiva Saminim. So the ideal thing is that the Shiva Saminim should not be brought to the table. The Shiva Saminim, your simonim platter, should remain in the kitchen. Or if it's in the table, cover it. So now when you make the Bori Priho Eitz, you're only making the Bori Priho Eitz on the apple, you're not insulting the Shiva Saminim. Now, when you make the bracha, of course, you have to have kavana. When you make the Bori Priho Eitz, your kavana is that the Bori Priho Eitz you're making now on the apple is also for the other fruits that you will eat as part of your simonim, even if they're covered and even if they're in the kitchen. If you know that they are coming and you're making the Bori Priho Eitz and they're in the same house, so the Bori Priho Eitz that you make, you have to have kavana that this Bori, I'm only going to make one Bori Priho Eitz, shall be for all of the simonim that are coming that are Bori Priho Eitz. So now you take the apple and you dip it in honey and you make a Bori Priho Eitz and then you eat it. Now here's the problem. After you dip the apple in honey, you're supposed to say, when do you say the Yehi Ratzai? I'll give you three options. You say the Yehi Ratzai before you make the Bori Priho Eitz. You first say the Yehi Ratzai, and then you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Bori Priho Eitz. Or you make the Bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Bori Priho Eitz, and then you say the Yehi Ratzai, and then you eat the apple. So you would think that the Yehiratzon will be a hefsek, will come back. Or you say the Yehiratzon, you make the Bori Priho Eitz, you eat the apple that's dipped in the honey, and then you say the Yehiratzon. Each one of these has a problem. Now, let's go backwards. There is very little value. It's not nice to say that. It's not really accurate, but relatively speaking, there is very little value in reciting the Yehi Ratzon when you already ate the apple and the honey. The goal is to say the Yehi Ratzon when the apple and the honey still exists in this world. Once you bite into that apple and you consume it, the apple is no longer here. You're done already. It's in your stomach. So now when you recite the Yehi Ratzon, it's too little, too late. So you're not gaining very much. The goal is always to say Yehi Ratzon, I'll give you the L'chaim. When you take some schnapps and you go L'chaim, when do you say the L'chaim? You say the L'chaim before you drink.
Right, yeah. So you say, make the bracha, sip a little bit of the L'chaim.
That's what
we're
going to
answer.
Okay, right, we're going to come to that. Right, we're going to come to that, exactly.
Also, one more thing, can Rabbi Levine address the issue of using Hashem's name?
Okay, we're going to address that. Yes, you, Rabbi Felder, discuss that. We'll talk about that in a moment. Okay, so basically, there's no solution. There's no perfect solution. It's understood that reciting the Yehi Ratzon after you've already eaten the apple or any of the simanim, you're not getting a bang for your buck. The goal is to say the prayer is to say it before you consume it. Once you've consumed it, it's too late. So what would then be the solution? So say the Yehi Ratzon after you say the bracha before you bite into the apple. Why not? Well, that would be a hefsek. Chazal instituted, you make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Borei Pri Ha'etz, and then you're supposed to eat it immediately by reciting a Yehi Ratzon that they did not formulate and someone came along within the last 400 years and invented. That's not what Chazal had in mind. So who says you can say the Yiratzon between the bracha and the consumption? So what you said, so make the Yiratzon before you make the bracha. It's too early. It's like, if I say the Yiratzon right now, today, Thursday, Rosh Hashanah is Monday night. You don't get credit. You can say all you want, but the goal is to say it in front of the right time. I call also Yafa Bita. So each solution is a problem. Each idea.
That's what the basic is, the machlokes is still on the Shammai. When you make a kiddush, you make a Baruch Yagofen, then you make a whole other bracha after the Baruch Yagofen. Shammai says, what are you talking about? You make a Baruch Yagofen, you take a drink of wine. Hillel says, no, you can say the bracha after. That's what we do. In other words, when we make kiddush, you say Baruch Yagofen, then you say Rasha Bacha Baruch Yagofen.
Okay, so yes, you say my kid. So Rabbi Mayeski is saying it should be no worse than when we make kiddush. We make kiddush, the Gemara brachas, right? There's a hefsek. You make Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Pri Hagafen. And then you make this very long bracha. Shabachar, Rabbanim Yikol, Om, Rabbanim Yikol, Hashon, Yidushon, Rabbanim Yitzvah. So why should the Yehi Ratzon be any different than the long bracha we make when we make kiddush? So the answer is, that bracha was instituted by the Chachamim. A Yehi Ratzon is a new invention. It's a modern, relatively speaking, it's a modern thing to make a Yehi Ratzon. The Gemara does not make any mention of Yehi Ratzon.
Right.
So in Achnami, there's no question that you can find very valid sources telling you that you should indeed recite the Yehi Ratzon after the bracha, before you eat the apple. There's no doubt about that. But that's not the common minhag. The best thing to do, Rabbi Felder and many others, did their recites all the sources, you want to see them all inside, the best thing to do is to make, to dip the apple in the honey, to recite the Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem, Kim Lechol, and Bori Pri Ha'etz, and eat just a very, very small amount. The bare minimum. No shear. No, after you dip. Take an apple, dip the apple in the honey. You can dip the apple in the honey right away, apple dwarf in the honey. And then you make a Bori Pri Ha'etz, and you eat just a little bit. And you leave over the vast majority. After you've already tasted from the apple and the honey a little bit, now you recite Yiratzon Melufanach Hashem Elokeinu Ve'oseinu Shetechadesh Aleinu Shana Toiva U'Misuka, and then you proceed to continue to eat the majority of what you have not eaten until now. You don't have to eat the whole apple. One little slice is enough. But just take a teeny amount after you make the bracha in order that the bracha should be chal upon a small amount of the apple. And after you've consumed that teeny amount, you then say the Yehi Ratzon, and that Yehi Ratzon will precede the eating of the majority of the slice of apple.
Is there a difference between dip the honey into the honey or you dip what
it? Oh, so he's saying, Meir's asking a very good question. Is there an Indian bedafka to dip the apple in the honey? Or can you take those nice little
spoons,
those special honey spoons, and apply it to the honey? I didn't see anything. I don't recall. Not that I tried too hard to look into this. I don't know the answer. I really do not know the answer when it comes to salt. So there it says explicitly you're supposed to dip the bread in the salt. Why? Al pi kabbalah. I think the Mishnah Berurah says al pi kabbalah. There's no. Don't ask questions. This is purely a mystical thing. You know, you have a salt shaker. For pizza, you can shake the salt on the pizza. But for your soup, you can shake the salt into your soup. But when it comes to the bread, you're supposed to shake the salt on the table or on some nice stone. Don't get the women too worked up about this. On some type of a utensil. It doesn't matter what it is. And then you take the bread and you dip the bread in the salt. Some do it three times. One, two, three. Why? Beats me. Al pi kabbalah. What?
Pesach,
you dip the bread, the matz in salt.
No.
It's machlokes. I think Rav Moshe did. It's
machlokes. Because it's lechem oini.
Lechem oini. But what about Pesach is another story. There's a chiluke deos Pesach with salt. But let's talk. Now it's Rosh Hashanah. There's a different eating altogether. So now we did already the salt. We're talking about dipping. So I don't recall. I don't know the answer to your question. Yes, a good question. Do we say that just like Api Kabbalah, there's an Indian to dip the bread in salt? You should bedafka dip the apple. Dip the apple in the honey, or it doesn't make a difference. You can take a spoon and apply it. What?
If you need a bracha on the honey.
We spoke a whole shiur on this.
I know, but if you're doing a dip.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Dip, let's say something in salt water, you make a bracha on the salt
water? No, of course not.
If you do something into a dip, then the dip is a tafel, there's no question about that. But if you're taking honey, you're
making it into an ikar?
So not make them honey.
I know, but anyway, yes.
I'm looking at kids right in front of me right now.
Yes.
The kids are using the Russian Taiwan Prusa, I might see the bash. And he uses also Toivel Tzas Tapua. He uses the word
Toivel. The kids are Shulchan Aruch, Surah HaKadosh. So he says Toivel, that's what he says. That's, you know, you're putting people out of business. It's $1 million business. A honey spoon. You've just shut down $1 million. You've caused
the world. Yeah, I live in the 20th century, not the 21st century.
Okay. So you shut down $1 million business of beautiful honey spoons. What's going to be? What's going to be, Rav Baruch?
Oh, no, it's a good business.
The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says to dip.
You do it. You have little serving cups.
Yes.
You dip it into the big honey. You put it in the serving dish. And you give everyone the little serving dish.
So you use the spoon to put the honey in the serving dishes.
And then
the people take the apple and they dip it into the honey. All right. If Baruch says, it says in Kitzur that you're supposed to dip, it's good enough for me, dip. That's what it says. You're supposed to dip the apple, the slice, and the honey. It's not ma'akev. It'll be yoitz if you don't dip, but that's what the Kitzur says, to dip. Excellent. Okay, now here's the part which gets very confused. So you've done this, you've taken the apple, and why are you making a bracha on the apple? Why? You made a hamoitzi. Why are you making a bracha she'en etzricha? You see, that's the reason our Baruch does the other way around. The advantage of doing this ceremony of dipping the apple in the honey before you recite Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz avoids the she'ela of what are you making a borei priho eitz? You wash. You made a Hamotzi. No one makes brachas after you recite Hamotzi Lechem in Aretz. That's koilel. It conquers all. So what is the answer? The answer is because an apple. Who eats apples during a meal? Whoever heard of eating apples during a meal? It's the vodim haba besuda, sheloi machmas asuda. is a Shulchan Aruch. If anything is brought to the table to a meal and it's something which is abnormal, it's not part of a normal meal, then it demands its own bracha. So no one eats apples during a meal. So therefore, that's why us people over here in this room have no problem of making a bracha. We first wash, we eat bread, we dip the bread in the honey in order to part of the honey from a bracha, and then we dip the apple in the honey. Apple, you don't bring apples to the suda. It's davar habo b'suda shaloi machmas suda. We have no guilt in making a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech olam, boirei pri ha'etz. We take a little taste of the apple in the honey, and then we recite the yehidot, and then we proceed to eat the remainder of that slice. But not everyone is so happy with that. Some people will say, you just made a bracha levatalah. Because if you're planning to eat the apple at the suda on the night of Rosh Hashanah, then this apple, that's what it says to do in the machzor and Shulchan Aruch, then it turns out that this apple is a davar haba besuda, machmas ha-suda. If this is what you're supposed to do on the night of Rosh Hashanah, this becomes part of the meal. If it becomes part of the meal, then there's no need to make a bari pri ha-eitz because it's part of the meal. You made a hamaytzi lechem in aretz. So to avoid that, that's why there are customs, which I don't think is as common amongst us, is to do this ceremony before you wash the hamaytzi lechem in aretz. Now that is another bosh. Another bosh. Okay. Yeah. It's premature.
He's not so bad because by Sriyas Ha'ayimah, when do you say Yirotzah
before Sriyas? Wait, that's after you finished already. That's, you say Yirotzah, Yachas, Elon, I want to say something from Kohen Merenu. That's Zeichel Migdash. Okay, so I hear the question. I agree with you. The Poskim say it's premature.
What's premature?
The Yehi Ratzon has to proceed immediately before you eat it. That's the understanding.
So anyway, that's one point. The other point is, like we discussed, usually the Shef Aminim, you're making the break creates on the Shef Aminim.
So we discussed that.
You have in mind to, be to include the apple too, so there's no shine altogether.
No, you did not get to discuss it before you came in. The Shivas Aminim are even after. After. The first thing we do is the apple.
Before the shaykh?
Yes. So you have a bracha problem. So we discuss this.
I'm not sure everybody... Okay, fine.
We gave that disclaimer.
But anyway, I think that you have to make a bracha on the bread, on the
salt. Before you came in, we discussed all of this.
Yeah. Okay.
Before you came in, we discussed this whole thing.
First, then you
the apple. Before you came in, we discussed. First of all, we discussed there are many different minhagim. Maskil. And we're not here. I'm just telling over here in the room the more common minhag. And as far as the Shivas Haminim, it is a big problem because you're supposed to make a Bari Pri Ha'etz and the Shivas Haminim before you make an apple. So this, but on the other hand, the minhag is to eat the apple first. So the solution is to one of two things. The simonim platter should not be brought to the table. It should remain elsewhere. And the second, the solution is, even if it's in the table, you should be covered. We gave that disclaimer. We're not coming to conquer all. We're coming just to discuss the issues. And absolutely, there are many different ways to do it.
Okay, now next.
Okay, so we're done now with the apple. Now we bring out the simonim platter. And on the simonim platter, you're going to have fenugreek, you're going to have leek, beets, dates, gourd, pomegranate, fish, head of a sheep, whatever you got. You don't have to do this. Whatever you want, whatever you want, to each his own. Now, you bring it out now. The first thing, you already made a Bari Pri Ha'etz. So you're done with that. Now, what about the vegetables? Now, this gets tricky. What about the carrots? Some have a custom of the carrots, some have a custom of cabbage, beets. The fish. These things are all vegetables which you would make a borei pri ho adama. Do you make a borei pri ho adama before you eat the vegetables? This is a big, big question. Because mitzad echad, the question basically is, are these vegetables that you eat, these raw vegetables that you're eating now at the beginning of the meal, are they considered to be devarim? Are they ordinarily called devarim haba besuda machmas hasuda? It appears that many places can hold they are. In a normal meal, they serve vegetables. Go to a wedding, one of these catering halls, for the main course, there will always be in the main course a vegetable. No?
Yes.
It's a vegetable.
And also salad.
The main course is
salad.
The
it doesn't matter. Even though the vegetables are considered to be something that is more machma. So even though you had a little bit too early. It's like when I go to a restaurant, I say, can you please bring the dessert menu first? Life is uncertain. Let's this right away. We need the main course afterwards. First comes dessert. We first do the so. Vegetables are considered to be things that are dvarma b'machmas hasud. And thus, there's no bracha. There's no bracha. Before you eat the gourds, the fenugreek, the cabbage, the carrots, the beets, there's no bracha. Because you made a hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz. And the hamoitzi lecha min ha'aretz covers the vegetables. Why didn't it cover the apple? It seems that people don't eat fruit unless it's an appetizer, but it's not an appetizer here. People don't eat fruit. That's accepted. That's the way it goes. Everyone's
people
making
avocado
great.
Salad.
What?
People have avocado salad.
Okay, so maybe avocados, but not apples. You ask a very good question. You really are asking a very tough question. Our style of eating today has dramatically changed. It's a really, really tough question. And today, you would say, if I'm not making a bracha on the fenugreek, and on the leek, and the beets, because they're, then I should not be making a bracha on the apple either. Because the same way these things are bomacha, why, you go to a wedding, they never have fruit in some form, a cooked fruit, they take fruit and they make it into a side dish. Never happened. Happens.
And salad they put.
Salad, right, they have an appetizer. You're asking really tough questions, and a lot of poskim are very troubled, with these questions, and they don't really have answers. And the basic thing is we're following tradition. Tradition is, when these rules were established, fruit, the Surgeon General decided, you don't eat fruit during a meal. Not at least until you get to dessert. It is not accepted. And if you eat fruit, they're going to come into your house, they're going to arrest you if you eat a fruit in the middle of your meal. So if you eat a fruit in the middle of your meal, this is davar habab with a shaloi machmas hasuda, and you must make a bracha. Vegetables, even strange that, whoever heard of fenugreek? It's an art school word in the Gemara song. It's an art school word that you have to memorize when you give a daf yomi shir. Fenugreek, gourds, all these things. People, we don't see these things today. Yet, what? yet, in the time of Chazal, vegetables were part of the meal. Vegetables were even more vegetables, and they're considered to be dvar haba machmas hasuda. And therefore, when you're eating them now, as they simus for simonim. You do not make a bracha. You certainly don't make a bracha on fish and on head of a sheep. If you even eat these things, all these things, because these are certainly things that are b'machmas asuda. So you make a bracha. Now, by the way, let's say for argument's sake, you don't have an apple. Let's say Mayor Appledorf, he took all the apples for himself, and you can't find in the store even one apple. And the only thing you have is the dates and the figs. Those you have to make a bracha. Fruit, big thing. Now, in our case, if you made a bracha on the apples, that part is that's going to exempt, that exempts you from the date of the figs. But fruit will always need a bracha, and vegetables generally do not need a bracha. Now, you should say, not everyone agrees to this. There are definitely places, he presents them over here in the Bethel the Sefer, who hold that if guess what's shocking, that you should make a Bar Pri Adama on the simonim, just same exact thing, at least the first one, the first vegetable, a Bar Pri Adama, and then eat a little bit, then save the Yotzayim, and then eat the rest of it, before you eat a vegetable. His machria, basically, that it's a big, big machlokes, and basically, I'm assuming, sofek brochois lechokel, and it seems that the minig is not to make a borei pri ho adama on the simone. You only make a borei pri ho eitz on the apple, and that's it.
How
would
the apple, but the dates and the figs
are more common than the apple? So we said that. The dates and the figs, if you have on the table an apple, date and fig, you mechuyev to make the borei pri ho eitz on the date.
We went through the whole Seder.
It's also the same reason, that's not boss. So you're asking a very good question. You see, Rabbi Mintz is asking, you're asking a very good question. No, you don't. There you didn't wash yet. You didn't wash yet. Karpas didn't wash it. Right. But here you already washed. Here you already washed. If you already washed, so why are you making the Bar Pri Ho Eitz on the apple? The answer is because it's Dovah Shabo Sheloi Machmas Asur. You don't eat apples. Here you already washed. We went through the Seder. You're right, there are different ways to do it. There are different minhagim. A Baruch, he does it your way. He eats the apple before he washes. I'm discussing the more common way. The more common approach is to first wash and then go to Kiddush. So our bottom line is, we went to the whole Seder with Kiddush, with Shachyanu, you wash, you dip the bread in honey, and some
and
then dip it.
The bread creates on the apple, and you have in mind to be icing the figs.
Correct.
That's but how can you do that?
We said that.
We discussed that already.
I know, okay. Well,
that's all.
That's the halacha. I'm not making up the halacha. I'm not making up the halacha. These are the halacha. Yeah, the minhag Yisrael is the first is the apple.
We discussed that.
This is the minhag Yisrael, and there's no problem with that. They make a borei pri ho eitz on the apple, and the borei pri ho eitz covers the shiva saninim. Okay. Now, next question. What do you do the second night? Wait. Baruch has another very important question. Wait. When you say the Yehi Ratzayin, do you say Hashem's name? Do you say Yehi Ratzayin milfon Yehi Ratzayin she yikora roya gzar dinenu v'yikoru lefonecha zichu yoseinu? Or do you say Yehi Ratzayin Hashem Elokeinu?
What's the problem?
When you say the Yehi Ratzayin, are you maskir Hashem's name?
Why not?
Because it's not a good thing to throw around Hashem's name. No, there's no bracha levatala. It's a tefillah. You're right. There is no. Technically, there's no problem. But it's not just a good thing to throw around Hashem's name whenever you want. You're going to be saying you want something. There are different minhagim. There are people who feel that. Rosh Hashanah, it's the Yom Hadin. Loisisa Shema Hashem Lekecha Lashav. There's a degree of Yira Saranimus. You don't just throw around Hashem's name 20 times in both all the Yiratzim and just say Hashem's name. And some say, no, you should say Hashem's name. You have to give it potency. You have to give the Simon and the Essen for big things. It's Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Hadin. Adrabah, you should be mazgir b'shem Hashem. There are different minhagim. In the art scroll, Machzor, it says to say b'shem Hashem. There are many people who do not say b'shem Hashem. Yesh v'yesh. Okay, now the next question. What about the second night of Rosh Hashanah? Do you also dip the apple in the honey? and you do the simanim, most people do not. Some do. We know the drash is that the first night of Rosh Hashanah is called Leah. The second night is Rochel. Rochel gave to Leah the simanim. That's a very famous vart. You only do the simanim the first night. Some do the simanim the second night. But not.
Why not the second, the first day?
No, some you should know, some do it also the first day.
Yeah, why not?
Do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. But the common minig is only to do the simanim the first night. Now the second night is another minig to have a new fruit. A new fruit, because the second night you make a shachyanim. You make a shachyanim. The kiddush is exactly the same. Everything is exactly the same. But the problem is that Rosh Hashanah is yom arichta. It's really one long day. So make a shachyanim. Some feel it's a bit of a stretch to make a shachyanim. In order to satisfy the shachyanim on the second day, you should be wearing a new suit or have on the table a new fruit. So the second night, you have a new fruit on the table, and you then eat that. When you eat that fruit, you have to make another bori pirates. You eat the fruit right after you wash. You make the shachyanim when you wash. When do you eat the fruit? Do you eat the fruit before? Do you eat it afterwards? I think most people eat the fruit after you wash. And then you have the new fruit, you slice the new fruit and you make on the new fruit, you don't make bar per eight. And the shechiyanu you made for Kiddush goes for the new fruit. If you don't have a new fruit, it's fine. It doesn't matter. You can still make the shechiyanu in Kiddush. What happens if you don't want to eat the simanim?
It's only the second night. It's only the
second night. The shechiyanu is only the new fruit, only the second night.
No, it could be second the first night too.
No, why?
Because you have two different fruits for shechiyanu. Let's say you have a fruit that's shechiyanu.
So fine, you can do with it.
You didn't eat figs all year.
So fine. The shechiyanu that you made in the kiddush will cover the figs.
It'll cover the figs?
Yes, yes, yes. We pass them. You don't
so
eat another shechiyanu.
Really, if you made a shechiyanu to cover the figs, you should eat the figs even before the apple.
Because of the shechiyanu?
Because of the shechiyanu. You don't want to make it much later.
It's not, I hear what you're saying. It's not the minig. The minig is first the apple, and the hefsik is not significant. Obviously, when you make the shachiyanu on the second night, they talk about this. So there's a hefsek. So there's a hefsek. It's not a significant hefsek. You make a shachiyanu. Shachiyanu covers the food.
How long are you wearing this suit?
Yeah. The minig is the first thing you do. Don't play around with the minig. Seder is seder. Seder is seder. The first thing is the apple and the honey. No, you made a shachiyanu. You want to go. You have your figs. So the figs will wait a few moments. The world will come to an end. It's not called a hefsek. The second night, the only time you need a new fruit is the second night. The second night is the shechiyanu.
So, but you don't have to make it as the first fruit. If
what
you're
going to
make a shechiyanu on the fruit, right?
You make a shechiyanu in Kiddush.
So then you don't make a shechiyanu when you...
No. That's exactly the point of why you have a new fruit. So you don't have to... The shechiyanu
right.
You made for Kiddush is... You're seeing the purpose if you can make another shechiyanu. The shechiyanu you made for Kiddush is going to go on the new fruits. But you have to make a break for it in the fruit. All right, I hope you got something out of this. Some of the basic laws, the Seder Hadvarim, bottom line is you make a bari pir eitz on the apple and nothing else, and you do not make a bari pir adama. And the second night, most people do not do the simanim, but the second night you should have on the table a new fruit. Now, by the way, let's say you don't like beets, you don't like fenugreek, you don't like, so guess what? You don't have to eat it. Don't eat it. But you still say the Yehi Ratzayin. You look at those beautiful beets. I wouldn't eat that no matter what. But you can still say the Yehi Ratzayin. The Yehi Ratzayin does not depend on the eating. It depends on Ein Lanu Reshus L'Hishtamesh Bohem. Elo L'Roysan Bilvat. You can look at it, you can make the bracha. Okay. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Sachs.
Next week.
Mission tomorrow.
Next week, Monday, no
shir. No shir.
How about Thursday?
Yes. Mirza Hashem Thursday.
We're fasting and we're still going to have
yes.
And
Tzom Gedaliah. Tomorrow, I have no shir tomorrow. Mirza Hashem tomorrow, I have very little shir tomorrow. Sunday, Monday, no shir. Tuesday, Wednesday is Rosh Hashanah. Thursday is Tzom Gedaliah. And Mirza Hashem, Habolim Tavu, we will have a shiur on Tzom Gedaliah. No coffee, Rabbi Sachs. Sorry.
There'll be coffee, but you don't have to drink. Anyone who wants
green
food or stuff?
Sorry?
Peanut butter, anybody?
What is it called?
Gourd?
Gourd. A calabasa.
A melon. It's a melon. A gourd is a melon.
Calabasa.
A melon.
A gourd is a calabasa.
Calabasa?
The lot.
Calabasa. Good joke.
What?
I'm ready to talk to you. You're going to love this chocolate.
Rabbi Cohen, saying what it is.
What is it?
The lad. The lad.
The lad.
The lad.
The lad.
Okay, the lad.
Dalit, Lamed, the Ayin, Tav.
Right.
The lad.
The lad.
What is it? The lad.
Take your guess.
It's a pumpkin. It's a pumpkin. It's a pumpkin.
Everything about a bee is part of Yahweh.
It's part of
Judaism. A bee. Yeah. What? The honey. You dip the apple in the honey. What else is the bee make? People will notice the bee, a byproduct of the honey is the wax.
Yeah, beeswax.
So, beeswax. So the wax you use for Hanukkah, Shabbos.
Yeah.
What else? What else?
The sting.
When you get married, that's the sting.
I sent you that.
On the chuppah.
You said what?
On the chuppah. Doesn't sting.
There's a minute. No minute. You under the chuppah, you bring a bee and you put it on there.
The sting. Of Kalman, how are you?
Okay, Baruch Hashem.
If I eat a four, you have a yellow to bring you on.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I had the treatment that I had to
come on, Dalan. Let's go.
That's how it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
You should be gesund, healthy. Ba'arichas yomim v'shanim.
Amen.
Shahakol, corn grits, we discussed it. Shahakol, corn grits, shahakol. Shahakol, corn grits. Corn, right? I don't think that we looked into that. There's no such thing today in the market as mezoinos grits. Only grits are corn grits. Shahakol, shahakol, certainly shahakol.
No, my mother is on Borough Park on 45th Street. I gotta go to her next because I can only imagine what's going on with the Mexicans today.
There's a lot of damage.
What?
There's a lot of damage.
They said this is why I don't.
Insurance?
I don't know. For me, I already had this before. I'm not going to insurance because they raised my voice like crazy. I went back to my girl this morning. I bought a
finished investment.
Yeah.
I have, but I bought a shed. What I said on the supermarket, I said I used to write a couple of points. I said my siblings. I said so. I said that was my, you're not here. Your mind is elsewhere. Your mind is elsewhere. But I said also, one other thing that I mentioned was because I remember a few times when I was in YU already, and I would go to Soloveitchik Shir, and they would ask me to be Tumin Tomarim a couple of times on Yom Tov.
Yeah.
To say over his.